Somebody sitting beside you. Good morning, my brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
I'm a little bit nervous, but the Lord is with me. Our pastor has gone for a few weeks. We understand why she's away. We are glad that Mom Nolan is here in Hong Kong. 2 weeks ago, it was Brother Keith. She had about trusting in God. And then Brother Anil, we talked about the persecuted churches. I'm going to be talking about resting in the goodness of God. Just a while ago, we were singing that who else is worthy? Who else can we put our trust? Who else can we rest in? As Brother shared last week about trusting in God. We should be resting in God, because trusting in God is an act of faith. But resting in God is basically the peace and the joy, the calmness that comes with being a believer of Christ and putting all the trust in Him. So that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. And for me, God has been talking to me, dealing with me about this issue. And this started two or 3 months ago, and I will share a little bit more about it. But I want to ask you the question. What do you do when you face restless situations? And especially situations that are, persistent. Something that is tormenting you over and over. What do you do about it? When last did you wake up 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. in the morning and the world is quiet and you are just there with what you have is your mind. Maybe if you're married, your wife is or husband is lying beside you, but your mind is just spinning, thinking. You're thinking about a job. My brother Stephen just shared with me that he's looking for a job. Maybe some of you are in that situation. You've been looking for a job for a while. Currently, AI is making it difficult for our young people and even the oldest to have jobs. And we don't know, the economy in many countries are not so good. And you worry, you have to provide for your family. How do you rest in that sort of situation? It's challenging. You have finances, you have bills, rents, you have school fees, tuitions to pay. You have to support your families back home. Some of us do support families back home, and I believe a lot of our sisters here and brothers do support their family. And, they're crying out to you. There's a situation, an urgent situation, and you're here. You cannot sleep at night thinking, how am I gonna solve this problem? A health situation. You're there, you go to the hospital, and you're waiting for a doctor's report. And that's... I've only been in one serious situation wherein I had a serious back pain, sudden one. I had to rush to the hospital. And I was sitting there for the first time. I went to a hospital in Hong Kong that it took me less than an hour. I was able to see the doctor because it was very, very severe. I was trying to open the window, and then suddenly I had a very, very strong pain in my back. And so I can just imagine, when I was sitting there trying to find out, what is happening with me? Luckily, I was able to overcome that within a few days. Or relationship with our husbands and wives, husbands and wives, children, or people that we know, people that we work with. Those are challenges that when we are sleeping at night, we're thinking, how are we going to deal with these situations? And our mind keeps rolling and rolling and rolling. And then you wake up in the morning, maybe. The first thing you do, maybe you turn on, you check your WhatsApp, which is not a good practice. I try to avoid that. And then you have all these messages about, maybe from your boss who says, we have this problem. And you think that you probably solve it. So your day starts in a bad footing. And, things just gradually, become challenging and depressing, or sometimes, you become, somehow uncomfortable and, irritated. I'm thinking of words to use. But you get the picture I'm trying to say. So you become somehow helpless. You become dejected. What do we do in those sort of circumstances? We analyze. You know, I'm a science student. I'm an engineer. I like to analyze things. You know, I'm a very logical person, and that's the difference with my wife. You know, she's different from me. If I have to sort something out, it's, you know, every box is very clean, you know, and they're all connected. This is a logical way, you know. So I sometimes overanalyze my things, you know, and sometimes small things you analyze it and becomes very big. And later on, you think that it doesn't even, at the end of the day, it doesn't the way you have looked at it doesn't happen the way it happens. And then you look back and said, oh, I was thinking all of this. And sometimes you don't even realize it, that what you are worried about didn't actually happen. But sometimes we ignore, sometimes we just forget. So my brothers and sisters, you know, I'm here to encourage you to talk about resting in the goodness of God. Some of you, most of us are Christians, we know all of this. I'm going to say there's nothing new, but something God God has been whispering to you, and I just want to encourage you this time. Or maybe this is your first time hearing this, or you've tried to rest in God, or you've never tried. But this is also a message for you. It's for all of us. It doesn't matter whether you're Christian for how many years or you're just a new believer. But first of all, I also want to thank God. Before I move forward with my message, I want to thank, Sister Nolan, Pastor Mary Nolan. She's here in Hong Kong. We don't know whether she's watching. You know, I stand here because of people like this. Pastor Nolan, Steve Nolan, and Mary Nolan, they were our foundations in China when we were their students. We used to have conferences every holiday, and they used to come, whether it's a summer holiday or winter. I think we attended, the first conference I attended was probably one of the first conferences in 87, winter conference in Nanjing, and the Nolans were there. And I got baptized. I had just come from Sierra Leone, a young kid, younger than Johnny and Julia, younger than my son. And I was a Catholic. I got baptized there. Pastor Nolan, Steve Nolan, used to teach in the mornings, and then Mary Nolan will teach in the afternoons. Those teachings have shaped some of us one way or the other over the years. And I'm not joking about it, because those conferences, Stephen attended. I don't know whether Keith ever attended, because those conferences in China. But those conferences really were something else, because we'll meet once, a whole week, and you are just brothers and sisters sleeping together. Sharing. We didn't stay in hotels. We can't afford it. Maybe Stephen and others can afford it, but some of us, we couldn't afford it. So, we stayed with our with other students, share rooms, and those were some of the best days that shaped some of us. And I stand here on the shoulder of Mary Nolan to share this to share this message today. And I thank you that you are in Hong Kong, and I hope that you're encouraged, that you are here, and you're gonna. I believe you're gonna be an encouragement to to many of us here. So, let me deal with the technology now. So you have to forgive me if I start to mess up. The first slide says, "Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Who can add an hour?" Can Bill Gates, Elon Musk, they are billionaires. Can they add 1 hour to their lives? Probably, yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe they can go get good medical facilities. Maybe somebody can argue that. But what really we are saying here, if you're going through a particular situation, can you add an extra hour to yourself? Can you buy? Can you do something that adds 1 hour? It doesn't. You cannot. There's nobody who can add an hour. And that's why I want to share that there are things that we cannot control, that we worry about, that at the end of the day, worrying and being fearful doesn't add anything to it. We need to rest in the goodness of God. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. God cares for you, my brothers and sisters. And this is what I want to establish today, so that if some of us are already practicing and we're relying on God and putting our hope in God, that we can actually continue and do it more and more and more. Because, and one of the good things I have to say is, I think I have enough time, I can, you know, so far. When I'm given this opportunity to speak, it lays bare how insufficient I am, how I'm an instrument of God, but I do get out of tune. I do get, you know, my notes are not correct sometimes. I may be loud at certain times. I'm sometimes silent. But the word of God shines in me and reveals these things more and more as I'm given this opportunity to share with you. So this morning, I'm going to start first with about how this message started and what God has been telling me about resting God. And I also want to talk about David resting his soul in God, and then Jesus' invitation for us to rest in him. And then the last one is, I'll talk about the attributes of God and why we should rest in him. I try to have some of the verses, you know, the scriptures, but sometimes I get overwhelmed if I put everything I have, so many. So I'm not really good in back and forth. So bear with me. I'll just be, you know, reading it out to you. Or if you have your Bible, you can read by yourself. So, We need to be grateful. This is a statement that says we need to be grateful for many things that didn't happen. You know, my sister is struggling with a phone. So if you do have a phone, maybe this is a good time to turn it off. Don't feel embarrassed. It happens to us, you know, sometimes, you know. So this is a quote that I just extracted from the internet. But this is not the exact quote that I saw a few months ago. Jeremy and I, Josh and my wife, had gone in July to the U.S., and Jeremy and I were here. We went for dinner one night, and I saw this guy's T-shirt. He had something like this: we need to be grateful for many things that didn't happen. And I was captivated. I was so eager to capture the words. I even thought of going to take a photo, to ask the guy, can I take a photo of your, you know, T-shirt? But then I thought, you know, I know my boy would probably, Jeremy would probably say, no, Dad, don't do them. You know, I will embarrass him. So, but then, you know, so I went, I kept remembered, you know, but my memory, I'm getting old. So I've forgotten the exact words, I have to confess. But then I was able to get something from the internet that says we need to be grateful for many things that didn't happen. And the whole week I was thinking about it almost every day. And then the second week I was still thinking about it sometimes. But then it happened that on August 15th, Jeremy and I flew to the U.S. to join Josh. Jeremy was going to college. And I have already shared what happened that day. Our flight was delayed from 2 o'clock, from 10 o'clock. In the morning, I received a message that the flight has been delayed from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock. We got there at 10 o'clock, and we were there, Jeremy and I. By the time on the board, display board, there was no flight. Our flight was not there. But we just ignored it. I thought about, why is it not there? But okay, we checked in, we did everything. We went in, and there was no gate. So it took a while before we realized where, the schedule our gate. So we went to the gate. 3 o'clock, we are supposed to leave. We boarded the plane, and then we are about to take off. We are about to take off. The pilot said the takeoff has been aborted just few seconds before we took off. And he said there was an engine problem. So we stayed there because we are very close to the runway. And, you know, luckily we stayed there for a while, and then they took us to a different corner, which I've already explained. I'm just repeating for people who are not here. So we sat in one part of the airport. They gave us meal. We ate. I think we were there for 2 hours, and they told us that we cannot fly. They said the flight has been canceled because there is actually a very serious problem, and it will take several days before the flight, the plane will be in operation again. And Jeremy and I stayed 17 hours at the airport. We came out and, you know, we had some good time. You know, as I said, I was able to buy a gift for my wife, you know, that time. You know, I was going empty-handed because I was so busy before we left. That was our anniversary. So I had the opportunity to buy something for my wife. So I'm grateful. So even things that happen, you know, that something good comes out of it. But the thing was, when I was in the States, I was there for about a week or so. Every night I would think about this situation. And then my mind started telling me, oh, I should go check out, you know, do some research, how often these things happen. And I could have done it in the States, but I didn't. So I kept thinking, when I go to Hong Kong, I'm going to try and find out how often these things happen that few seconds before takeoff, or maybe a minute or so, how, you know, things like that, they just abort because they find out that, you know. But then, before I left the States, God convicted me and said, Moses, what are you trying to achieve? Because all along I've been praising God, but now I'm talking about, oh, let me go check. Maybe, you know, this is actually a common thing, you know. Why so worried? Yeah, praise God, but, you know, almost every, you know, 1 in 10 or 2 in 10, you know, these things do happen. What I was doing was basically taking away from God what God has done for me. He's given me an extra day. But yes, still, I want to rely on statistics and justify what had happened. And I said, I'm not going to do it anymore. So, as I was thinking about that, I thought of how other things, 2 occasions, one in Hong Kong, one as a high school student, I almost burned to school in Sierra Leone. We're doing, I think it was physics, thermodynamics, you know, heating system, using gas, and I almost burned to school, a building. God intervened. I'm not going to go because of time. I'm not going to go into the details. And here in Hong Kong as well, there was a time I left I was boiling something. I left it on. Lama and Jeremy went out to eat. We were there for 1 hour. We came. There was so much smoke in the house, in the corridor. And I was thinking, who is smoking? Who is smoking? You know, where? You know, I started blaming the neighbors. And then I opened the door. It was smoke all over in our house. I was sorry. Sometimes I get nightmares when I think about it. I'm not joking. Because anything could have happened. But luckily, the thing shut down by itself. And so I thought about that. And I, you know, Psalm 77 verse 11 says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I remember the fire situation. God started bringing my mind on things that he has done that I was not aware of or I could not have even done anything about, but he has intervened. So God taught me to rest in him. Slide. We want to talk about David. David, in Psalms 62, says he was surrounded and tormented by enemies to overthrow him. They wanted to take him off from his lofty place. They used deception and lies against him. So David, what did David do? I don't have the full, I will just read the first five, verse one to four. I think five is here. Truly my soul rests in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long will you assault me? Will all of you throw me down? This leaning wall, this torturing fence. Surely they intend to topple me from my lofty place. They take delight in lies with their mouths. They take delight in lies with their mouths, they bless, but in their hearts they curse. The good thing about this, I mean, I'm moved by it, is this should be a model for us. David started by saying, declaring and making a commitment to God about how great God is. And then he started talking about his problem. Maybe that's a good model for us. Before we start worrying, maybe we'll start praising God and thanking him for what he has done. Before we go into, hey God, you know, this is what I'm doing. You know, I'm helpless. I need your help. So verse 5, which is here, it says, yes, my soul find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Such a beautiful statement. David puts his hope in God. In verse 5 it says, he places his expectation in him alone. God is his foundation, rock, and fortress, assuring him that he will not be shaken, because it's a solid foundation. Just like some of the foundations you can think of in Hong Kong, these big buildings that we see in Hong Kong, they are rooted with solid foundations. Salvation, his salvation and honor depend on him, and who is his strong rock. Well, the last verse is what, you know, again, it shows David's heart. He started by declaring the goodness of God and how he's resting in God. But then he talks about trust in him at all times. You people, us, you and I, he has already done it. He says, God is my refuge. God is my salvation. God is my fortress. And now he's saying, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge, our refuge. And I like to talk about heart, because to be frank with you, sometimes my instrument is, as I said, is out of order. But what God, one thing I can say is, God has guided my heart. And as I pray, as I was saying a while ago, being a student and how we were encouraged those years and having traveled to different places, God has guarded my heart. My instruments may not sound sometimes good, but God has always tuned me. Or sometimes just coming to Lighthouse, you know, you brothers and sisters, you sometimes make my sound a little bit better when I'm off. And that's the beauty of us being together here as brothers and sisters, supporting one another. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Everything that we do flows from it. And that's something that, my brothers and sisters, I really want you to talk about, because I really want to talk about, because the heart is very, very important. It's the center It says, the heart encompasses our thoughts and beliefs. It encompasses our desires and affections, our will and intentions, our character, the essence of who we are. If our heart is not right, is not aligned with God, no matter what we do, we will just be making noise. And if our hearts are aligned with God, yes, sometimes we may not sound good. God can bring that same heart sometimes back to where to align it with his word. And this is one of my favorite, or one of the verses that scares me in the Bible. Where is it? Oh, no, I don't think I have it. But yeah, sorry. This one. Isaiah 29, verse 13, it says, the Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Can you imagine somebody telling you, you know, sometimes if your spouse tells you or your child, you don't love me, or somebody tells you that you're supposed to love and you said you don't love, it hurts. And this is what God is saying. You say all this blah, blah, blah. I'm standing here. I can speak all, you know, quote all the Bible, say all sorts of things. But if my heart is not right with God, I'm nothing. I'm just wasting your time. Maybe you might get encouraged out of it. God can use anything that I say here and bless you. But it's meaningless to myself, you know. And that's one thing that I'm really, really appealing to my brothers and sisters, that we guard our hearts. As I said, God has guarded our hearts, my heart, over the years. And although sometimes I may have fallen, but yet still, I'm still able to continue with him. You know, and one thing I want to talk about, you know, it's, I was reading a book a few years, about a year ago. I knew this book was very explosive, was very controversial, but I was eager. I'm somebody that reads a lot. Now that my wife is not here, you know, I started reading again. You know, when she comes, I put away my books. So there was a time I've said this. I used to read like 3 books a day, a week. So there was one time I started reading this book just out of curiosity. The book was very logical, and I have told you guys how logical I am. But as I read it, my heart was telling me, this is not the right book. It was poisoning me, if I tell you the truth. I can't even remember the book is still, I think I don't know whether I've thrown it, or because I thought, no, I'm not going to continue reading this. And that brings me to the social media. Sorry, guys, I always bring social media whenever I talk. My brothers and sisters, young adults, please be careful with what you consume online. We were having a discussion yesterday. I met Pedro. Stephen didn't come. He's busy. We had a short discussion with some few friends. And there were certain things people were believing. We were having that discussion. And I was kept telling them, are these not AI stuffs? But the people believed it strongly. I may be wrong, but some of it didn't just make sense to me. And I kept telling them, brothers, be careful. Let us guard our hearts, my brothers and sisters. If not, we are consuming things that will take us off what God has planned. And we come near to God with our mouths and honor him with our lips, but our hearts are far away from him. That's what we have to be careful with. I found this definition, which is very interesting, about what is my soul find rest in God, what it means. It means trusting that God is sufficient for every challenge, finding peace and hope in his presence and promises, and allowing him to carry your worries, fears, and burdens. It involves a quiet internal state of calm, rooted in faith, even amidst external turmoil, and acknowledging that true peace comes from God alone, not from worldly circumstances. This is so profound. My brothers and sisters, let me read it again. My soul find rest in God. What does it mean? Trusting that God is sufficient. Can we just read it together? Maybe that's... My soul find rest in God means... Well, God was speaking to me this morning and said, let me do an exercise. And I didn't feel comfortable with it, but God said, I want you to do that. God wants me to ask each one of you, what is your challenge that you are facing? What is the challenge? I give you 5-6 seconds to think about. I ask you that question. God told me to ask you because we are in his presence. He said, finding peace and hope in his presence. You may not know the hope. You may not know the promises, or probably you know the promises of God. Maybe we can talk about a few of the promises later. But we are in the presence of God. God wants you to think about your challenge that you're going through. Maybe you've already rested it to God. You've given it up to God. But maybe renew it in his presence again. Well, let me move on because we're running out of time. Jesus invites us. Jesus promises to give us rest. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My brothers and sisters, the first thing that God says, come to me. What comes to mind? Salvation. We cannot go to the Father except through him, and that's what... This is verse 28. Verse 27 says, all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal. So God, for us to rest, we have to go through Christ. Have you made that commitment to Christ? Have you come to Christ? His calling. Have you answered, made that decision to follow him? Only then can we start to put our problems, our worries to rest. He says in John 14, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So that just reinforces what God is saying. You know, just as an analogy, you may say, why do we have to go through Christ? And that's, I have said this before. I come from partly Muslim. One of the things that my Muslim brothers really have difficulties, why do we have to go through Christ? Why don't we go to God like they do directly? Why do we have to go through Christ? Let me just think about, you know, for example, God has said it, Jesus has said it clearly, you have to go through me before you can get to the Father. The same thing, maybe we can think of the leader of a country. You know, my sisters are from Uganda. Maybe they can, you know, answer this question, whether they can go see Museveni, their president, without making any appointment, without going any protocol, just walking. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they do have that contact. Maybe let's speak to them afterwards, you know. But I believe every country, you know, can you go see Trump, you know, just like you want, you know, maybe, you know. We cannot. There is a protocol that we go through. And I think in a similar, it's a little bit, not exactly the same, but I'm just trying to come up with some analogy of how to explain it. You know, resting in God requires us we go through Christ, who is our Lord and Savior, for he took upon himself to become man, suffered and died for our sins. He says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So Jesus says, come. It doesn't matter whether you're basically the worry, the problem that you have, is it self-inflicted? Where you deliberate, you knew that this was wrong, but you were still doing it. The problem that you brought on, you can say maybe you brought it upon yourself. Jesus doesn't make that distinction. He says, come. It doesn't matter. You just need to believe. Trust in him. And that's what I'm encouraging my brothers and sisters today. Jesus says, you know, come all who are weary. And in other verses, he says, weary is labor. That means physical work or, you know, I've seen some commentary. I was reading some commentaries. We're talking about it only includes physical. But whether it includes or not, you know, I'm not an expert in that. Whatever we do, the Bible says we have to labor. It says in Genesis 3, verse 17 to 19, God cursed the ground. He said, you have to labor. You have to sweat in order to survive, in order to eat. And that's what we do, most of us here in Hong Kong. We go to work every day. We have bosses. Except even when you're a boss, you still have to work. Even the millionaires, the billionaires, their kids are working. All of us do work. And so there's no exception. So when we work, we get exhausted. But God says, come and have a rest. So there is Jesus also said, come all who are burdened. We are burdened with emotionally. One is physical. It's one aspect of it. Emotionally, we are also fighting with spiritual battles that we go through, that we fight. We have the guilt that we have. You know, something you do and you have that guilt, that's a burden. We are responsible for our kids. We are responsible for certain people. You know, it's not a physical work, but that's a burden. And we worry. You know, if you're taking care of a sick person, that's a burden. God says, come and rest. Come and I will give you rest. But Jesus said, I will give you rest, but remember, I've told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So God is warning us that although he is calling us, trouble is not going to go away. We'll still continue to face the troubles that we go through. And as I was saying, you know, being in those fellowship, those days, student fellowship, it was our best time. I still, you know, sometimes I wish we have it, because when you are there, it's like heaven. There's no problem. You don't have to think about this. You don't have to think about it. It's just fellowship. Maybe except if you have something that is bothering you before you go there and maybe, you know, keep continuing. But we are students those days. We have no much responsibility to think about wife or children. No, you know, we're having the best time of our lives, you know. So, but God says in Matthew 15:29, it says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus is asking us to take his yoke and learn from him. But if we learn from him and we don't act upon it, it's useless. And I was telling you, I do read a lot. I came across this recently, and I have been thinking about it a lot as well. This is by Smith Wigglesworth. He said, I'm not moved by what I see. I am moved only by what I believe. I know this. No man looks at appearances if he believes. No man considers how he feels if he believes. The man who believes God has it. I've been thinking about this. I'm not moved by what I see. Yes, we can be moved, but do you believe? And I encourage my brothers and sisters, don't be moved by what you see around you or your circumstances. Be moved by what you believe. And believe in the word of God and dealing with our hearts so that we can align our belief, our heart, with the word of God. That is how we can rest in God. I have only a few more minutes, and I'll go through the last slides. I'm not going to read the scriptures. I'll just read what I have here. You know, God arranged this so well. I have so much. If you want my notes, I can share it with anybody who wants it. We need to rest in God. A while ago, we were saying we praise God because he's sovereign. Now, let's put every word here. Let's rest in God because of this. His sovereignty. He's in ultimate control. He is the one who controls everything, even the things that we cannot control. He controls it. So why don't we rest in him? He's omnipotent, all-powerful, the ability to do anything. What are you asking for? What is your challenge? He's all-powerful and able to do anything. Omniscience, all-knowing, having complete knowledge of everything. You know, let me just read this. This is, God knows everything that we go, the details of our lives. Our hair is numbered. God says, when you sit and when you rise in Psalm 139, you know, he knows about it. Our going in and coming out, he knows about it. God knows everything about us. Do we really believe it? Sometimes we may, but sometimes, you know, then, you know, when it comes to reality, we act differently. But so I'm just here to encourage you. These are all things that you guys know, my brothers and sisters, but I'm just encouraging you. I'm just repeating what you already know. Omnipresence. He's present everywhere at all times. Let me just read this, which I find, you know, Psalm 139, verse 8 to 12. He said, when I go from your spirit, where can I flee from your presence? I go up to the heavens, you are there. I make up my bed in the depths, you are there. I rise up in the wings of the dawn. If I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. We cannot hide from God. So why don't you surrender? You know, I sometimes watch this TV program in Los Angeles where in LA, they chase these criminals, you know, with, you know, carjacking, or sometimes they're running out. And you have the helicopters, you know, they all know about these things. There is a helicopter, these programs that, you know, follow them. But people run, I mean, they're still driving dangerously and sometimes cause so many accidents and sometimes death. But sometimes some of them do escape. But my point is, maybe not the right analogy, but something similar, is if we're not going to hide from God, why don't we surrender then? Let's ask ourselves. We need to surrender because there's no place we can hide from God. Whether we belong to him or not, he sees what we are doing, and he's taking account. His goodness. Every good and perfect gift is from God. And let me just move on. I was going to spend a bit more time on that, but we don't have any time. His faithfulness, they are new every morning. His strength and comfort. These are his promises. His strength and comfort. He will renew your strength. Let me read that. It says in Isaiah 40:31, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. God says his provision and care, number 8, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Psalm 23. My brothers and sisters, I hope you're encouraged. I want to give you my last slide. We says, resting in God is a conscious decision to shift your trust from your own strength, understanding, and control to his strength, his wisdom, and his love and control. If we can do that, if we can just do this, then we can truly rest in God. I'm calling the Brother Stephen to come and lead us in the song, The Goodness of God. God has been following us all the days of our life. Let us believe it and let us act upon it. As we leave this place, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that whatever challenges that we are going through, that we continue to rest in the goodness of God, that we continue to praise you, that we continue to thank you for you who for who you are, O God. Even when we don't understand, even when we don't have control of what the situation might be, and particularly also the ones that we control, let us know that whatever the answer might be or might not be, everything should be surrendered to you, O God. We thank you for your goodness, oh God. Thank you for this time. And I pray, oh God, that you will encourage my brothers with this word.
Amen.
Thank you for your goodness.